I was listening to a man of God some time ago, and he said that, now, this was before communism collapsed. You understand my point? One man, a prophet, a Ghanaian, he said that God showed him a vision and said that there are three things he's about to bring to an end. He said, number one, communism. He said, following that, Islam. The third one, he said, will be witchcraft. Now, those are the words he used. One, communism. Two, Islam. Third, he said, will be what? Witchcraft. Okay. Now, that witchcraft one is more difficult for people to understand. Now, really, it's more difficult for people to understand, and I won't take time to explain. In fact, he did not explain it. Let me tell you something. Again, don't mind me, by the way. Prophets can prophesy and not understand. I hope you know. They can prophesy and have no idea. There was a time, was Kenneth Copeland. He gave a prophecy. That's in the 70s. And said something that his interpretation he's about to give was not given to him. That he just saw the vision. And this is the vision, but the interpretation is what he thinks. As soon as he finished saying the interpretation, I said, that interpretation is wrong. That is, I said, no, this interpretation is not accurate. And I gave it another interpretation. And let me tell you the truth, I was correct. Let me tell you why. Now, don't think I knew more than him. But events are taking place. I listened to the tape in 1991. He gave the prophecy in 1976 or thereabout. Events, it was about communism. Events are taking place that made it able for me to understand. You know, when Jesus spoke to his disciples and talked about his death in Jerusalem, they couldn't grasp what he was saying. The Bible said after transfiguration, from then, the Bible said, he began to tell them about the things that was going to happen in Jerusalem. Peter called him aside and said, boy, if he's a Jew, stop it now. Now, you are telling me that we'll return to fishing. You must be joking. We, the big boys in the ministry, are going to become fishermen again. I beg, relax. Now, but he said, Jesus now said, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. You can't understand them. Now, when the Holy Spirit will come, he will tell you. It's not because the Holy Spirit is a better teacher. No. It's because between now and when the Holy Spirit will come, events will have taken place and you'll be able to see. When they witnessed his arrest, his crucifixion and everything, they understood what he meant when he said he was led like a sheep to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. So when he now meant, he was showing them the scripture, it made sense. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, so don't let me lose track again. So this man was saying that God told him that three things he was going to bring to an end. Number one was communism. He prophesied this before communism began to collapse. So he wasn't speaking from things that were going on around. He said number two is Islam. Let me tell you what. The Bible says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, were like them that dream. Look, let Islam kick all it can kick. I know for sure. One day, the way communism went, that's how they'll go. In fact, when George Bush went into Iraq, this man was explaining that in his own understanding, he thinks it's the beginning of a domino effect that was going to kill the root of Islam. All this money they're making, they're not, because somebody's giving them money. I hope you understand that. If nobody is sponsoring them from somewhere, all of them will shut their mouth. In fact, let me prove to you that God's really doing something. The day God appointed Sunny Abacha as head of state of Nigeria, those who had eyes would have known that God was using him to do something, to destroy the seat of the caliphate. Let me tell you the truth. When this guy deposed the sultan, he removed him from masquerade level. He became a common man. That these people know that a Nigerian can remove a sultan and he will stay removed. I mean, the man died. Did they reinstate the former sultan? So let me tell you what. Don't let anybody scare you with anything going on the earth. The problem is that the devil always publishes bad news. Let me get that clear to you. He always spends money to publish bad news. I was watching somewhere some time ago. I was reading somewhere. I think it's Reader's Digest or is it TBN? I'm not very sure. On the homosexual agenda in the U.S. They showed how the people position themselves in strategic places. You know the kind of jobs they take? Editor of magazines. That there was a time, you know what they call hate crimes? You know, hate crimes. You know, white boys kill a black boy, you know? And then they also have those crimes against homosexuals in those places. One homosexual, I think, was beaten. I don't know whether he was killed. He generated about 220-something stories. Yet, there was another hate crime involving, I think, a black boy or something like that. Generated only about 10 stories. And the other boy was murdered. This one was just injured. Though they are 2% of the population, yet they put themselves in strategic places to fill the earth with their story. Miles Monroe, I was listening to him once, and he was describing the sponsorship of the gospel, why it's important that Christians should spend money. He said that, notice that when Jesus rose from the dead, the first people to witness the events around it were the Roman soldiers. So they went and told the Pharisees, and the Pharisees gave them a lot of money to say that was not what happened. Read Matthew, the book of Matthew. They said that, and the story was still being circulated as at the time the gospel was being composed, that Jesus really didn't rise up from the dead, but that his disciples stole his body. And that was what fills the place. Why? Because somebody paid to publish it. If you read it, it's there. The very last portions of the book of Matthew. See, verse 13. Verse 12. And when they had assembled with the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. That is money. Look, when the Bible says money answers all things, it's not a joke. These guys spent money to publish bad news. A lot of the bad news you hear is money being spent. Let me tell you what. CNN never saw anything happen in Nigeria. Then the moment they declare state of emergency in Plateau State, they will have 500 news clips on it. So the young boy growing up somewhere in New York, who has never crossed down to Nigeria, the only time he hears about Nigeria, there's trouble. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They won't sit down and describe that maybe 4 years ago, Nigeria had 500,000 phone lines. As today, they have 4.something million. They will never say it. You hear, why should they announce? Is that news? It's not news because it's not bad news. But should the... Look, when they removed the Miss... is it Miss World from Abuja? What crisis happened? Worst ones happened when IMF was trying to meet. IMF did not relocate. Boys gathered to protest against the meeting of this occultic, of this satanic cult, IMF and World Bank. They knew these people were evil. Yet they met. Nobody relocated it. A few people may ride somewhere far away from the venue of Miss Nigeria. Of course, broadcasting. In fact, the venue was waiting. They were waiting for an excuse to move it. What I'm trying to say is this. God is moving. You may not be hearing about it. Know for sure. The word of God cannot ever fail. He said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And that's a fact. That is a fact. The day Islam will collapse suddenly, it will be like a dream. And I'm sure it will soon. Because I've heard the prophecies of men of God who God told, I'm bringing this thing down. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. But it's important for people to be ready. Look, God does not dispossess people and leave the place empty. He told the children of Israel, as you are increasing, I will be dispossessing them. He said, I won't drive them out of the land in one day. You are too small. You have to enlarge in your mind. You have to enlarge in your mentality. Before I can dispossess people, you have to get that point very clear. Let anybody, look, if anybody tells you, anybody opens his mouth and tells you, that are in this country, some men are big. No, he's an unbeliever. You know, I've told you that to be a believer is not just a name. You must believe something. Are you getting my point? Look, listen. Today, but that's what I told you I was writing. I was writing the book, all right, on that believer issue. And look, revelation was pouring forth. If I just told my wife, recite for me the Apostles' Creed. So she was brought up very well in a good, very, very good Catholic church. So she just brought it out. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of the heaven and the earth and the hell and everywhere. God's... resolved the whole thing. I said, these are facts that everybody should believe. Apostles' Creed. But that does not make you a believer. You think that makes you a believer? It doesn't. Because in Nigeria of today, come out on Sunday, in Enugu particularly, every 5-year-old child will give you that thing. What, does that make him a believer? No, it doesn't. I remember when I went to work somewhere, and I was talking with the MD. He knew I was a Christian, so we were talking. What do I believe? So now I look back now and I say, if it is now, The answer I will give him is not that one. He was telling me he believes Jesus is the Son of God. He believes this. I would say, oh God, I also believe that one. But I believe that, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nation like an overflowing stream. Something must be practical. I mean, deceiving me that Jesus died there. We all know that one. That is not definition of faith now. It's baseline. You know, if you don't know that, you are dead. You understand my point? You are not alive. Like, tell me that, is this guy okay and alive and well? He said, yes, let us check. He's breathing. That is not the point. Let him carry 50 kg. I know he has muscle. He's breathing. Who doesn't breathe? The only guy that doesn't breathe is in the morgue or is being cremated. You know, something like that. It's the same thing with faith. Let me tell you what. If you don't have something specific you are believing, you are an unbeliever. You understand my point? You are not a believer. If people are analyzing situations and all of you are talking the same way, look, yesterday night, my wife and I sat down and talked at length over some issues. Because somebody was talking some things about, of course, economy, nations, and all that. And he went on and on. I just said, look, this guy has no faith. And no matter, look, there's something I'm going to share. I don't know whether I can get into my spiritual economics today, but this is the introduction. Get it clear. If there is nothing tangible you are holding on to, you are dead. You know what I'm trying to say? God can't do anything for you. I'm telling you the truth. Abraham was not declared righteous because he believed God made his son. You know, I've warned you about that before. Did you hear? And God and Abraham believed God that he's the creator of the stars. And that and it was made unto him righteousness. Have you ever heard of that? God came to him and said, I am thy exceedingly great reward, I am thy shield. Abraham said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, okay, what are you going to give me since this child matter, we have concluded it. God said, listen, Eliezer of Damascus will not be your heir. One that is born from your body. He said, come on, look at the stars. This is how your descendants will be. And Abraham believes that word. That's what made him a righteous man. He knew God made the stars before God came that day. He knew. But there was a new word. I told you, Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is what the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. All your apostles' creed are the things not seen that faith gives you the evidence. The conviction, I like the way my Bible says it, the conviction of the things not seen. I know that Jesus came on the earth. I know he died at the age of 33. I know they hung him on the cross. I know he rose up after the third day. I've never seen it. He said, blessed are those who will believe this without seeing it. But those are things not seen. They are not things hoped for. Are you hoping that Jesus will rise from the dead? Who can go? Who will go down to the heavens to bring him down or go down to the abyss to raise him up? That is not a hope. A hope is not a wish. It's an expectation based on an evidence. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you are expecting God to do something. So Paul was saying that faith is the substance. You must have an expectation. If they say you're a small man, you should have an expectation that I'm going to be a big guy. You get my point. Abraham had that expectation. The father of many nations I have made you. Do you get my point? Based upon that, he was called righteous. If he lied, let him believe that God created the moon, the stars, the rivers, the trees, the sand, the rock, everything. When he finishes, he's as much a sinner as he was at the beginning. You can recite the Apostles' Creed 10 times. You are the low-level Christian, a sinner type, carnal. No, I'm serious. If you might ask me today and say, what do you believe? I will tell you, you want to know what I believe? I believe one day I will be 100 years old. I will be standing straight. No osteoporosis in any part of my bones. Listen, my children will be great upon the earth. Listen, the word of God to me says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said that it is too small a thing for me to use you to reconcile only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I will yet make you a light to the Gentiles. Listen to me, my name, the gospel of Christ, will be heard from my lips all over the world. That I believe. Then you will know I am a believer. You understand the point I'm going to make? Come on, a believer. That everybody's a believer these days. Come on. According to what's it called? R.W. Schambach. Even Hollywood as an entity is born again these days. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right. So that when you're walking with God, look, it's not. How did I get there, Seth? What are we talking about? It's talking about. Okay, anyway, let me get back to what I'm saying. So you have to be renewed, all right, in your mentality. You have to increase and enlarge. So that when God indeed is about to dispossess people, he has a reason to do it. He always brings down one so he can lift up another. Have you ever heard that God scattered the Babylon and did not replace it with Cyrus? I mean, one kingdom has to go, but so another one can be established. Are you getting the point I'm making? One season always takes over from another. If God does not have another season, a person to take over from one, he will not remove the former one. All the noise you have been making that is the wicked people that are in Nigeria is because there's no righteous man to take over yet. And I'm teaching this gospel to prepare you as God's champion to take over. Simple. I hope you are getting my point. That's why we are doing what we are doing. Listen, if there's one scripture I have to read. Yeah, good. Oh, Father, thank you for how you helped me link this thing. Because I was wondering how I would get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. I have not forgotten what I'm saying. It's spiritual economics. This is part one. Maybe next week we'll get down to microeconomics or sometime. But now we are on macroeconomics. We have to know how the whole thing works. It's true. In fact, for the next many weeks, we'll be talking macroeconomics. We'll talk about, in case I forget, just remind me. We'll talk about treasure in heaven. That must be detailed. We must talk about it properly. All right? I will take time to explain my grasp with the principle of tithing. So that, like you were asking me last time, what exactly is the issue? I will outline it line by line, precept upon precept. Don't come on, turn Christians to children, be harassing them with tithe. I was somewhere with a man of God the other day. After praying, reminded the guy who was praying for that. When you finish this, remember to pay your tithe. I said, what's all this? What's all this? What's all this one? This is the gospel. You don't pay God anything. Listen to me. You don't. Anyway, let me leave that one. We'll talk about that. No, really. I will talk about it. I'm serious. I will go over it line by line. You will understand that only children discuss tithe and those who want to collect it. No, I'm telling you the truth. You were telling me the other day about what's his name? Watchman Nee. He didn't understand why everybody was discussing about that. He did three things with his money and he shared his money equally. He didn't have too much of it. One third he gave out, one third he ate with, one third he bought books. That is a fact. Come on, go and read people like R.J. Letourneau. You've ever heard of Letourneau? The man who invented Caterpillar. You never heard of him? Earth moving equipment. Look, the man, I forgot how much money he was making. But this guy had a lot of money. No, an American Christian. He died recently, not too long ago. You know how much of his income he was giving out? To missions, purely. 90%. 90. Wealth is a ministry. Look, we will talk about that. Wealth is a ministry. It is not like you are wise or you are better. It's an assignment. No matter what you are selling to, you make money now. I won't buy, I won't sell. I'm telling you the truth. Why? That's not my job. Can I do everything? I teach like this. With time I will write a book, I will be doing speculation. No, I don't have that time. I'm very happy I have a wife that can sell sand to Sahara people. I'm telling you. She didn't hear. No, there are people who are just like that. You understand my point? But me, no. In fact, if I buy something for 10 naira and I want to sell it for 12 naira, I'll be feeling as if I'm cheating you with 2 naira. No, I knew long ago that trading, God didn't call me to do it at all. I'll be feeling as if I'm cheating you. That your bank is 10 naira, you bought this thing. What are you saying to the guy for 12 naira? All right, praise the Lord. I said you should open to where. Okay, chapter 6. Good. It's important. In fact, we have to get this point very clear. I read verses 6 and 7. Verses 7 and 8. Listen to this very carefully, please. Even if you don't have a Bible, just listen to me. Because we have to get something clear, line upon line here. Is that all a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage does the wise man have over the fool? What advantage does the poor man have knowing how to walk before the living? Let me read it again. I want to connect something. It said, all a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. So what, listen to this, what is the advantage? Now listen, everybody's working for his mouth. Do you get the point? Now, he said, what is the advantage that a wise man have over the fool. Listen, if that wise man is poor, that's what he's saying. Get to this. If you say you are wise, let me read the last line and say it again. What advantage does the poor man have knowing how to walk before the living? What he's saying is that wisdom, if a poor man claims he has wisdom, that what has that wisdom done for him? Since everything we are walking after is for the mouth. I hope you are connecting what I'm saying. Now, I'll get it down to the spiritual angle. Because when Solomon was speaking, you know what he was speaking about? Under the sun. It's very vital you understand that. So, here he was looking and say, okay, you see a man cross his leg under the tree and he's sharing wisdom morning till night. For night, he will go beg his neighbor about anything there for a guy if he chop before he sleep. And he's been teaching wisdom. Business wisdom. No, let's come practical. You say you have a business school. Every money you have invested, you have lost it. What are you teaching the people? The morons that are coming to listen to you. What are you teaching them? That's what he said. That how can a man claim that he knows how to do business, but every time he puts out his hand to do business, he loses money. Yeah, he gathers people and is claiming that he has wisdom on business. What has his wisdom done for him? Now, it's not as if the man may not have the wisdom. But we are just saying for him, his wisdom is a useless possession. Are you getting my point? That's what he's saying. So he said, okay, the poor guy said he knows how to walk perfectly and not make mistakes. Yet he's a poor man. That is, his wisdom has not benefited him. Do you follow my point? Now, let's get to the spiritual aspect. John chapter 4. There is something that will connect the two and you will understand. Anyway, if we don't finish today, we'll continue next time. Time has really gone. Verse 34. For time's sake, I won't read everything. You know the story. Jesus was at it. He was coming, he got to the well, he met the woman at the well who had 5 husbands and all that and all that. And then when the disciples now came back with food, he was no longer hungry. And they said, has anybody brought anything for him to eat? Verse 33. 34, Jesus now said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Let's go by it. Every labor of a man, the Bible says, is for his mouth, that is to get food. And he said, as the Father has sent him, Jesus said, so send I you. So what he's saying is this. As a child of God, your nourishment, we discussed that before, when we're talking about walking the will of God, is to do the will of him that sent you and to finish his work. Therefore, listen to this. This is the connection. What God is saying here is that all our labor as children of God is to be able to do the will of him that sent us and to finish his work. Am I right? So he's saying, no matter the exegesis that's in your mouth, no matter how well you can expound eschatology, if it does not improve the way you do the will of God in your life, you are useless time. You are wasting time. All the time spent in study is useless. Are you connecting what I'm saying? That is, a man gets up, he says he's a child of God, and he jacks scripture. He will give you the Septuagint translation of Daniel chapter 8 of head and recite all. Look, and he finishes. The guy doesn't know why he's on earth. He doesn't know what he's doing for the kingdom of God. He's just there speaking scriptures. Solomon said, there is no advantage to the wisdom he's claiming to possess. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I am saying that we can come to church morning, afternoon, and night. If it does not improve how you are walking with God, and it's not improving how you are doing the will of God for your life, you are wasting time. You must just sit at home. That's what he's saying. That is why, you see, sometimes I told you before, I feel like if I do my thing strange, somebody says, okay, come and pray all night, we'll get there. And you are binding the demons on the road, the ones between here and the nation, and we spend all the time. Look, by the time we finish, what have we added to the society? Nothing. What have we added to our personal life? Nothing. How have we improved our life? Yet we, you know, one day Gio was coming to Enugu. You know Gio, General Overseer of Redeemed. And my friend, he has gone to the U.S. now. His sisters-in-law, they travel from far and near and gathered in their house. He said, what are they doing? He said, Gio is coming to do Holy Ghost night in Enugu. And that's why all of you have come.
Say yes. So he told his wife, you are not going anywhere. Me and you, we are staying inside this house. Because as far as he was concerned, this is an irresponsible use of time. You know why? Gio does not teach. Sometimes he calls himself a teacher, but he doesn't teach. Don't mind him, all right? He doesn't teach. No, really, it's a fact. I mean, I've heard him. I say, oh, this man, what do you call yourself a teacher? I respect him. No, I respect him a lot. He's an anointed man of God. He's a miracle worker. I respect him a lot. Get my point? I do. All right? I listen to a lot of his things at the time. You know, like I told you, that's my principle. Once God gives you a voice, I must hear my own portion of what you are saying. But, you see, one day, one of my friends, he was trying to describe something for me. He said, Redeem Camp. And I said, I know where it is, somewhere. He said, you have never gone to Redeem Camp? I was in Lagos then. The Redemption Camp. I said, no. He said, you have never gone to Redemption Camp? I said, no. You have never gone for Holy Ghost Night? I said, no, I've never gone. No? He said, this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. I'm serious. That was what he told me. Why? Because every Christian is supposed to go to the Holy Ghost. I have never gone there, and I am not going to go there. Now, I'm not saying it's an evil thing. But in business, it's what they call target marketing. You heard of target marketing? You know, if you are selling, if you want to be selling cowbell, 10 naira, don't hawk it near my gate. You understand? I buy my milk in big packs. In fact, my wife buys them in cartons. So 10 naira cowbell is not likely to entice me. Are you following the point I'm making? Uh-huh. And if you want to be selling MTN pack, 14,000 naira for one brick, don't come near my house. I buy my card one at a time, 1,005. You get my point? So you have to know your target. And that's why you go to Zenith. To open an account, they tell you bring 200,000 naira. They don't want every used copper collecting alawi on their counter. How much is alawi? The 3,000 naira. You've been to STB. You know what I mean? They will fill the whole place. Okay, let me say used copper. Every student, your father wants to send you money. He sends it to STB. Then he does not want that kind of harassment. So if you are coming, you come with a lot of money. So you give an initial deposit, 200,000. You can take it the next day, but at least you can come up with 200,000. You understand my point? In the same manner, when Gio is gathered, he's trying to, you know what I'm trying to say? He reaches out to those who need miracles. I'll go and stay up all night when I'm not. I should know what is driving me before I leave home, shouldn't I? That is me. But if they tell me Miles Monroe is coming to Ota and is going to be sharing for 1 week and you will pay 10,000 naira, do you know I can take a leave? Pack my family, carry 10,000 naira, go to water, and go and listen to Miles Monroe for 1 week. I'm trying to get a point across here. That, listen, you can pray breakthrough prayer. I have told you I don't need breakthrough. You know, I don't know what I have told you before. No, really, I don't. I have broken through, as I've seen, as you are seeing me right now. No, it's the truth. So if you are praying a fantastic overnight miracle prayer, I won't say amen. And you'll be looking at you like, okay, go on. Especially when you say you have to give an offering to connect with the prayer. Say, okay, you have lost me. You have lost me entirely. You won't find me there. No, that is me. I am not saying it's an evil thing. But I told you, that's why I started with talking about what? Target marketing. Get my point. I don't just stand outside and be criticizing things. When I'm not criticizing it, I'm just saying it's not my portion. But before I decided that, I put my head small, I looked and said, what are people doing here? Say, when we finish, I said, no, God, I'm very sorry for even having gone here in the first place. Forgive me in the name of the Lord. No, I'm serious. I stood outside. I have seen people labor money, trying to please. They think pleasing an organization and working there is what pleases God. Listen, I know what it means to work for God. So you can't entice me with some of the, it's only people who are working that will be blessed. That's your problem. You get my point? I am blessed. I was so blessed. I wrote a book called The Blessing. You have read it. Uh-huh. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying all this to let you know that, listen, to me, I discovered that all those things, they would not improve my work with God. That's what I'm coming to. If I were sick, I would go there. You understand my point? In fact, one day I challenged one man. I wrote the story in one of the tracks, The Visitation of God. All right? The man was yapping people who go for crusades, miracle meetings, breakthroughs, and all that. And I don't do it because I don't see anything wrong with it. You understand my point? It's just that it's not my thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? So the man sat down and he was talking. You can read the story. I put it in that track, The Visitation of God.
And the man was talking and yapping people and yapping people. I looked at him. I said, you, I called his name, Mr. Zanzo. I said, you are trying to tell me you don't need a miracle. You know, that simple statement boxed him into a corner. He said, miracle? No, I'm okay. I said, Ndaki, let us thank God for you. You are okay. May God not give you cancer. You will go for a miracle meeting. I told him straight. I said, there are people who have serious problems. Somebody has to solve it. The man shut his mouth. After that, I'm sure he didn't talk after that time. Because I'm sure it's the Spirit of God that gave me a word to give him. Because if he opens his mouth again, God can give him some small problem so that he too will join those. Look, no, that's how God does his things. So I am not at all telling, because those testimonies the GO gives, they are real testimonies. They are not jokes. You get my point. If Benny Hinn comes to Nigeria now and is filling the stadium, do you know I would not leave my house to attend the crusade? And I'm not joking. Benny Hinn, you know Benny Hinn? I won't go for the crusade. Because I've listened to him plenty of time on TV. I know what he does at his crusades. But if you find me in a wheelchair, maybe I will go. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm just trying to emphasize something to us. So, look, you have to be result-oriented in your Christianity. You get what I'm saying? That the reason, one thing I know for sure, for me, anytime somebody is teaching what I am there with all attention, it's only when you start talking rubbish, I will leave you alone. That's why it's every time I come here, I will tell you a story of one tape I was listening to during the week, because I am always listening to them. I don't claim to know everything. In fact, I'm always learning. While I'm teaching here, I'm also learning. But I've read all that to bring a point out. That when you claim to be walking with God and giving attention to the word of God, it is going to affect your life. If it is not that, when I say affect your life, I don't mean that, it's inside your heart alone. Like I was teaching on church on Sunday, that all those things that are inside your heart alone is because they are not there at all. Because if they were really there, we would see it outside. It's the truth. Every spiritual thing always has its physical manifestation. Are you getting my point? When you get to heaven, maybe, okay, you won't have physical manifestation on the earth again. But as you are right now, anything inside your heart, I will see it on your face. Do you get my point? If you are cheerful in your heart and you don't have a smile, you are lying. Except you have facial nail palsy. If you don't have facial nail palsy, you should smile. No, it's true. Are you getting the point I'm making? Uh-huh. So let's get that very clear. So when we are walking with God and studying God's word and praying and doing stuff like that, listen to me, this is where I'm coming to. It will affect things on the earth. Physical, tangible. Get that point. It will. So we're not just talking, we're not gathering just to play. No. It will indeed affect something on the earth. And when you are studying the word of God and running up and down in church, in court activities, this is my principle, let me have it shared with you. This is the kind of person I am. I said, I don't go to a church just for going sake. Either you are blessing me or I am blessing somebody. Do you get my point? If none of one of those two is not happening, I will sit in my house on Sundays. One of us came to Enugu, asked my wife. At the point in time, she probably thought I was backsliding, because I went to so many churches. I was neither being blessed, nor was I blessing anybody. I'll go to a church, the man of God is so excited. At the end of the day, I think this man thinks this thing is a joke. He thinks ministry is play. No, really, I got to places like that. The man who is so excited, just talking. At the end, I look at him and say, this man must think that they gave him this pulpit to come and entertain people. Of course, I won't come back. Where I am right now, I get blessed. In fact, I started going to House of the Rock regularly when the current pastor came, Pastor Ed. And we used to love to go and listen to him. And along the line, he called me, pulled me, and said, boy, what's your own now? Join us and bless people. So that's why I enjoy where I am. You understand the point I'm trying to make? So it's vital you get that very clear. As you're running up and down, ensure, please, that you are improving your walk with God. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm saying that it will indeed affect something on the earth. And the one we are talking, and I'm very happy, I've finally managed to connect it, but time has finished. All right, but this is part one. All right? So what we are talking about now is what? Spiritual what? Economics. And I'm serious, because I'm going to talk about business empowerment. Now, I don't know how to invest in business. You understand my point? So I'm not going to teach you. When you take 100 naira here, you put it in this business, you give you 200 naira. I have no idea. You understand? And that I will not dabble into. But
I will talk about being the best in whatever you do. Not methods. Get my point? I'm operating like God here. You understand what I'm saying? He said, as the rain comes down from the heavens, so shall my word be. That's what I mean, that leaves my mouth. That is, when I want to do something, what do? I send forth my word. That's what God is saying. So what I'm going to say is not like methods. I'm not teaching methods. I am teaching spiritual empowerment. You remember we're talking about prophecy. What is happening is that we are conducting spiritual things by words. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me give an example. You know, you can have a gift in your heart and not know it. Do you know it's there? It's possible. It's possible. That's why Paul will write Timothy and remind him, so boy, remember that thing there. You have to do what? Stir it up. I can speak a word and suddenly somebody listening to me, who God has appointed to be the biggest businessman in Nigeria will get a seat. Do you understand? That is, his heart will just be lifted. I will not tell him methods because I have no idea. But I will just say something like, you have been blessed to overcome. That simple word. Look, I was listening to a tape during the week and the pastor said something. Again, it was an admonition because I knew it from my experience. In fact, there are things you will just know if you are walking with God and giving attention to the God, word of God. He said that ministry goes in three levels. I can't remember the levels now, but let me remember the ones I can. He said, somebody's teaching like I'm teaching now. You can get an exact understanding of what he's saying. That is one level. Then again, sometimes he quotes a scripture and light opens on just one scripture. You understand my point? It's not the whole thing that he's saying. And then you're blessed. He said, third one is what he calls the prophetic level. And it has happened to me again and again. You understand? That is, the man is saying something. He just makes a comment and continues what he's saying. And that's it. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, he told a story. He said, once a man wanted to start ministry. I wanted to get him into the ministry. And took him to a place in Victoria Island where they were going to start the ministry. You understand? And said that the thing is going to cost them 300,000 naira of many years ago to pay for the place. But then he wanted him to get involved. He said after that he traveled down to Benin for a conference. And Archbishop Benson Idahosa, late now, was speaking. And the man just, while talking, just said, some of you, some big man has come to carry you. I've taken you to Victoria Land. Say he's going to start ministry with 300,000 naira. He said, they just want to ruin your life. Now, get my point? Nobody was there. No, I'm telling you the truth. Nobody was there when they were speaking. And this man just said it, and that was the end. He said, but for him, that was what? Revelation. He said, God, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm not going back. No, are you getting the point I'm making? And for me, look, it has happened again and again. In fact, there are times I go for a meeting. The man of God just said, let us open to maybe Daniel chapter 9. Before he starts reading, I read ahead of him. And God, heavy enlightenment comes. I don't even hear him for the rest of the day. You understand the point I'm trying to make? Okay? I have made decisions before, and I went to church. And you know, I just want you to understand something, you see. So, when I'm talking about spiritual economics, that's what I'm saying. As I am speaking, listen, those three things will happen. You will understand doctrine, number one. God will enlighten your heart in the scriptures. And very importantly, you will receive direction. Now, I am not going to give instructions on 5 steps on how to get the correct husband. Or 6 steps on how to miss the wrong man. That is not, really. No, you guys, listen. I'm telling you, if you're really interested, as I'm speaking, God will talk to you. I'm telling you the truth. But I won't give you steps, so it's against my religion. Steps will always lead you into koto, you know, when you enter into a ditch. True. You don't need steps. You need an open heart. So, get it. As we're talking about spiritual economics, listen, we are going to be, what will be happening, in fact, I guess it's a prophetic word, what will be happening is that men's hearts will be enlarged to receive an abundance. Get my point? They will understand the purpose of abundance. And women too. No, not only men. You know when I say men, it's everybody. All right. They will understand purpose for wealth. They will understand the use of power and influence. Because you see, God will give you power and influence when he has given you a word to speak. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, you give a prophet a word, he needs access to the king. Do you, you understand what I'm trying to say? I was discussing with, was it my wife yesterday, Tunde Bakar, I said, the man can insult anybody on television. Nothing will happen. You understand? If you try it from this place, they will just carry you. You won't see me for 6 weeks. I'm in jail. No, it's true, because I don't have the word to correct this, the president and this nation. I don't. Or the governor. I don't have it at all. So if you say it, they will be angry. But if he says the people are afraid, when he said that the president won't take the seat, his wife didn't leave redemption camp. Now prayer, because Tunde Bakari uttered, oh God. He said, will a lion roar when he has seen no prey? Tunde Bakari has spoken, who but not tremble? Now you see, so when God gives you a voice, you understand my point? He will give you power and he will give you influence. So it is important you understand how to use power and how to use your influence. It's very critical. I bought the biography of this evangelist, Billy Graham. And you will see that this man has met with the biggest world leaders. He had a personal counseling session with, what's the name of this this World War II hero in England? Winston Churchill. I mean, the man called, begged to see him, and kept maybe cabinet meeting waiting while he spoke with this man. He said that he made his first mistake when he first talked to, I think it was Harry Truman, one of those American presidents, I'm not sure which one. He said after that blunder, he never made the blunder again, because this guy talked with the president of North Korea. He goes to places. But he learned that anything said with the president of a nation, you don't ever utter it outside. He learned it very early when he made the big blunder at the beginning. How to use power and influence. The things that he and Winston Churchill discussed was only in that book that I wrote a few years ago that finally came out. I mean, I'm talking about there is a technique. The Bible says there is a proper procedure. All right, and order for anything done under the sun. There is a proper procedure. And those are the things, when we're talking about spiritual economics, that's what we're going to discuss. You understand? And let me tell you what, I'm not saying this because I want you to be happy. I'm not taking an offering as a consequence, you know. No, men of God like to hype before they take your offering. So, that's not what I'm meant to do. But I'm saying as of a truth, listen. From those hearing these words, all right, God will raise billionaires. I'm not joking about that. I mean what I'm saying. Men of influence, all right? Governors, presidents, senators, people that, because you see, God needs human beings to affect the earth for righteousness. It's a fact. That's the purpose of wealth. Wealth will not change your diet. Ordinary blessing will change your diet. You know what I mean? Once God blesses you, you will have enough food to eat. You give me $1 billion now, my favorite food remains my favorite food. You won't start making pete pete, piti piti, something from Italy, crossing with that in France, so that I should come and eat. The food does not have pepper. And you know me, I'm a Yoruba man. It must have oil, it must have pepper before I know the will of God is in the plate. So, money will not change my diet. You understand my point? No, it won't. It won't. It won't. The things I love to eat, I can eat them right now. All right, there's no reason why I should eat caviar, raw fish. It's against my religion. I am afraid of diphilobotrum latum. It does fish tapeworm. I should do. Look, lead us not into temptation. Do not use your hand to procure evil. Why are you eating fresh fish when you can cook it and it still be Nigerian fresh fish? You know what I mean? Our own fresh fish is cooked. So wealth is not at all to change my diet, but so that the voice that God has given you, you will have power, influence, and authority to utter it. I've told you the story before of Guinness. I'll repeat the story again as we are preaching. So that is what we want to do, please. We are taking out, like I said, this is part one. It's an introduction to the series, all right? So we didn't get to where I wanted to get to, but it's good. What we want to discuss now is spiritual economics. It may take us weeks. I'll go over it again and again. In it, we'll talk about ministry. In it, we'll talk about money. We'll talk about all kinds of things. So that children of God will stop all this kalo-kalo they are playing. You know? Today, anybody that gives 500 naira will get 5,000 naira. It does not work like that. It is a lie. You follow what I mean? The only way it works is in the third level of ministry. Just the word of the prophet, you know? And in a congregation of 10,000 people, only one person needs that word. You understand? So, 9,999 will obey and get nothing. Only one will come. Unfortunately, he will not come with a testimony. That's what spoils it. You know, really, that's what spoils it. He will not come with a testimony that last week, man of God said, so everybody thinks that today we shall donate another 500 naira so that all of us will get 5,000 naira. But once it's done once, the next 100,000 people will do it and get no result. Do you follow my point? These are what they call diversities of manifestations. All of them the same God. He comes to meet somebody's need, one person at one particular time, and even in that person's life, he won't repeat it again. They just shall live by faith. You understand? You walk by faith all the time. So that's what I want you to understand, so that we'll stop being tossed to and fro. The Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. Today somebody said, if you give your money in dollars, you will receive in dollars. So you go to the bureau exchange, buy a dollar and come and give offering. So that you can, look, it's all rubbish, nonsense. Look, that is not the gospel. Okay, you can give in CDs and God will give you back in pounds. It doesn't matter, you understand? You can give pounds and get ugu leaf as reward. No, it's God. You know, you cannot tie him to anything. It's true. After all, the money, who get them in the first place? Well, was it your money? You are a custodian of God's property. We'll talk about the parables of Jesus. How God lifts men up. He demonstrates their faithfulness in little things. He tests you with adversity. He will test you with prosperity. It's based upon how you respond to both adversity and prosperity that you will decide where you are going to be in 20 years' time. You get my point? Where your life will be when you are 60, you are going to determine it this season. It's not when you are 59, you start going for a miracle meeting. God, give me a breakthrough.